Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Softweb Radio, Special Operations Military News, and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Hi, and welcome back to Soft Rep Radio. I am your host, Rad, and I have a wonderful guest today. But before I introduce my guest, I want to remind you to keep supporting us by going to our merch shop. That's right. You go in there and you buy these cool branded items from softrep.com for the Soft Rep Radio program, and it really helps keep the fireplace lit behind me. I also want to say go check out our book club, which is softrep.com/book-club, and just enroll in our book club. Check it out. Read a book. You know, brain food, man. A book is brain food, okay? Read a book, especially a banned book. Now, without further ado, I have Dr. Melvin Stith, former U.S. officer, Vietnam, military intelligence, Syracuse University, PhDproject.org, on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Oh, you know, there's a whole story that I want to read about you right now, and I know that we started going through, you know, getting everything all squared away. So let me pull that up real quick. And it tells a little bit about Dr. Stith's background. So let me pull that up real quick here. I had it. Okay. So here's what we're going to read. Dr. Stith served in Vietnam as a commissioned officer in the U.S. Army's Military Intelligence Corps after graduating from college. When he returned home, he enrolled in Syracuse University and earned his MBA and PhD in marketing from the Martin J. Whitman School of Management. He eventually served as dean of the school, and in fall of 2022, received Syracuse University's Military and Veteran Award, the university's highest honor given to alumni who have served or are currently serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. Approximately 200,000 service members transition from the military service to civilian life each year. According to the Department of Defense, some veterans may experience difficulty finding civilian employment after leaving the service. Under Dr. Stith's leadership, Syracuse University became one of the premier campuses for veterans with its Office of Veterans and Military Affairs. So I was totally interested to have you on the show, you know, and I would love to talk more about how, you know, How old were you when you joined the military?
Well, I was 21. I was an Army ROTC scholarship student at Norfolk State University. So I received my commission through the Advanced ROTC program. And that was in 1968. And I was commissioned as a second lieutenant then, actually in armor. I was at Fort Knox and got a call that said that Lieutenant Stiff, you've been selected to help integrate the Military Intelligence Command. And pack your bags. You have to get out of here and go to Fort Hollenberg, Maryland, to the primary intelligence school. So after a short stay, I think, waiting for the next class, I was reassigned to Fort Gordon, Georgia, the Civil Affairs School, and then on to Fort Hollenberg for the Military Intelligence Program.
Can you tell my listener real quick, even explain, educate myself, intelligence, right? We hear that. Some people say, does it really exist? But here you are in military, like what style of stuff was military intelligence?
We were doing a lot of in the counter intelligence part, we were doing a lot of just basic security work on preparing documents for people who needed different type of security clearances. So whether it was, you know, military security or top secret, we would do the background check on those individuals to make sure that they should get, you know, the appropriate designation in terms of the security that they were having based on their position in the military.
Hmm. That's a very important role, you know. I mean, there's a lot of sensitive information that guys do need to see, but what if that guy can't see it, right?
Yes.
Jeez.
So, if you're on the team.
We actually worked in civilian clothes. We were not in military uniforms because we were calling on people, you know, trying to get information about the person that was being considered for usually a top secret, a crypto top secret clearance.
You know, that makes, I've had people call me as an employer asking about people who have enlisted saying, hey, got some questions. Guy walks in with an envelope. Hey, I'm looking into this guy's background.
That was us.
That's you. Okay. So I do know what you do. Well, lucky for them, I always tell my guys, I'm like, you know, you got to be nice to me. You don't understand because...
Indeed.
Someone's going to come looking into you.
And they're going to say, hey, Rad.
And we take it very seriously because, you know, again, it's the security of the country at stake, depending on, where you eventually find yourself and what you eventually find yourself doing at some military command or at some post or at some agency.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's a serious thing. You got to know, you know, you got to have guys who have the heart of the oath of classified information.
Yeah, men and women, you know, we were
men and women, exactly.
Opportunity in terms of
100%
having access to what we were doing, and we treated, you know, regardless of sexual gender, you know, the people the same way in terms of finding the appropriate information for the appropriate job.
You know, in the 60s when you were going to school, right, there was a lot happening in America, changing around, you know, and you lived through that. And first of all, you know, wow. Okay. And congratulations on living through everything that, you know, I didn't live. I was born in 77.
Yeah. Well, it was more interesting than that because in the 60s and I grew up in the South. So, yeah. You know, there was segregation. There was segregated K through 12 schools. My schools K through 12 was totally segregated. There weren't any Caucasians or anyone else in my little hometown, but African-American kids in my K through, not K, actually, we had no kindergarten because it was a farming community, first grade through high school. And then I went to a historical black college, Norfolk State University. Very few Caucasian students at that time was enrolled at Norfolk State University.
So that's an all-black campus?
It was basically at that time, yes. Maybe one or two football players, the kicker or somebody might have been white, but basically it was, 99.9%. African-American.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what that's like today, and I'm glad because, you know.
Well, the campuses now are much more integrated, of course, you know, though they're still called historical black colleges because that's what they are. But the campuses are, you know, much more a reflection of the of a global society because now you have international students come from all over the world, you know, Caucasian students, African-Americans, and African-American students now, you know, at majority institutions, as we see, especially every day on Saturday afternoon if you look at a football game. So, you know, the world is very different now in terms of higher education and where people go to school or choose to go to universities.
And acceptance of one another as a human being.
Acceptance of one another as a peer on their campus, yes.
Exactly. Just as a peer, just as a straight individual. Like,
exactly. No, man.
Bro.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to curse right now, but I'm not going to. I'm going to keep it real. I just want to say, like, look what the hell were we thinking, man? You know, what the hell? you know, and everybody who volunteers and fights for our country all the way through slavery to just, you know, fight for USA and, you know, and they, you know, willing to die for it. And we came in and took the land from natives in the first place, you know, and then just said, this is our place. And, you know, I'm appalled at that past. I can only be a good steward of who I am today moving forward of what I have.
But I think that's a really important point. You can't redo the past, but you want to make sure the past does not reoccur, because those who know history will have history to repeat itself. So our job then is to be good stewards of the land, to be good stewards of what we do. And when we put on the military uniform, I think that's what people try to do. That was their call to arms.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Yes. Now, once you put that uniform on, right, you go through college, all right, you put your head into the books, graduate, and here you are, you're in the United States military, boom, right? Back in, now you're integrated with everybody, correct?
Exactly. And it actually was my really first major experience in an integrated community. And it was fine. I don't remember any specific situations so much. That only one was when I actually got moved to Fort Gordon to go to the military civil defense school while we waited to get the next class for the military intelligence school. African Americans really weren't accepted because it was in where the master's tournament is in Augusta, Georgia. That's where Fort Gordon was. I don't know if it's still a viable post. But African Americans really weren't invited to go to the master's tournament. And we went to the post and said, you know, white officers are going and we can't go. That can't happen. And to their credit, they shut it down. Oh. Said, until all officers are invited, regardless of color of skin, then none of our folks can come. And they changed it, you know. But we had to go and get that done because it was wrong.
Right.
So it was.
Yes. That is.
But again, kudos to the commanders at Fort Gordon. They understood the severity of that issue.
You know, it's true. They have to, like, you know, make a big move because there's a lot of, like, old schoolness that's still hanging over their head. And they're like, you know what? This is the new. This is the way. And they're willing to put themselves out there, you know, how I feel I would be. That's same way. It's like, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, all the way from the all-black, Air Force, Red Tails that fighting for the same flag, man.
And those guys were being told what they couldn't do and wasn't capable of doing, which is totally incorrect.
Right. Well, even in the movie, it depicts like the white bomber pilot looking over like, oh, these guys aren't going to last long.
Exactly. They're going to be.
I'm like, bro, do you even.
surprise, dude. Look at the end results, you know?
Look at the end results. The Tuskegee Airmen. Let's just say that. I said the red tails because of their airplanes have red tails. But
yeah, but that whole operation, the whole squadron, and they took so much pride in what they were doing. But then when he came back to the U.S., people act like they didn't care what they did because they weren't treated the same way.
And they weren't there.
Then they weren't there, yeah.
Exactly. And they weren't there. They didn't see that they had to go through hell and back to even get home, to step back onto American soil.
You're right.
And then with all the same hate and rigmarole that was going along with whatever.
Yes. And sometimes even wearing the uniform then save them from certain unfortunate situations.
I was hoping that's what would be the difference, is that once you put that on, I've talked to other people like yourself who have always said it's always the U.S. in front of the Army or the Marines or the Coast Guard that makes us one, you know?
Exactly.
Right? You know, it's about the person next to you, man or woman. That's right.
When you're in the heat of a battle, we used to say you're in a foxhole, wherever you were, you just wanted to make sure that person next to you was competent. You didn't care about the color of their skin.
No.
Because it was survival time.
Right. And also a brotherhood. I love you. Oh, wow. Holy cow. We just like made a moment.
Yeah.
You know, we just lived through something traumatic.
Life-changing in many situations.
Exactly.
Even when you practiced to do that, you understood how significant of what you were doing, because if the call to arm actually came, you had to be ready to respond to that.
So you stayed in the military for how many years?
I stayed there for 4 years. Well, because see, I had a 4-year commitment. So fortunate, when I went to advanced ROTC, I received an Army ROTC scholarship. So they paid for all of my college expenses the last 2 years, but it meant I had a 4-year commitment. So I stayed in for the 4 years, and I was married by that time. And then I decided either I was going to stay in the military and make it a career, or I was going to get out and go back to graduate school. And I got admitted to the University of Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Syracuse University. And decided to go to Syracuse, and that's when I decided to, leave the military.
Right, and just pursue the education and bring, I call it war college. You go to the military, you do your 2-4-6 year stint. If you go for life, cool, doctorate all the way in the military. but you come out of that knowledge, power, discipline.
Yeah, I would have stayed in if I had not gotten, my wife did a lot of the work because I was actually in Vietnam when we were making that decision. She and another friend of mine, they did a lot of the legwork for me in terms of applying to graduate schools and, doing those kind of things for me because I was in Vietnam. But yeah, if I hadn't done that, I would have made the military career.
Did you miss her so much over there?
Oh, you miss everybody because you're isolated and you're living behind basically, wire fences until you're supposed to go out on patrol or go whatever you have to do. So you miss everybody. And remember then, we didn't have the Zoom. We didn't have the technology that we had now. We had the APO letters that, you would get once or twice
a week. My dearest wife.
APO.
I long to hold you in my arms.
APO San Francisco. You never forget that as long as you live, And when we tell people the story now, the young people, they kind of look at you like, huh? How did you survive? No. We didn't have the wonderful technology that you can be in touch regardless of where you are in the world. It was writing letters.
Like back in 2009, I was talking to my friends in Afghanistan at 3 in the morning.
Exactly. Like MSN Messenger. Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, they were there, but you could still have that. You could hear their voices.
Right. Or just talk to them right then.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you could get on a line, the old lines and hear some. But that was so difficult to do.
You had to get I-Corps on the phone and get me radar and send me a line out to my wife. Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, he's going home. They're going to have a kid. And then, so you come home and you start your family, civilian style, and you're pursuing what kind of a degree? Is it a marketing degree?
Yeah, so I was married and actually we had a son already. And so I came to Syracuse University to get an MBA. My master's in business administration, and then to go to work in marketing, to go to work with, some of the big consumer good firms, from Procter & Gamble to Levy to the automobile industry to the beer industry. All of those folks were beginning to recruit me. But a professor stopped me one day and said, I think that you would make a great university professor. Why don't you stay here and get your PhD? No, I'm not doing that. I'm going out and make me some money with my MBA. And talk to my wife. She said, well, we're doing okay. Let's try it. And I did, and it was really the best decision that I made to stay at Syracuse to get my MBA, then the PhD.
It's kind of a moment of like, why not me? Why not try it and then see if I can do it or not? And now you did it, and you're successful
and then,
at it.
And actually, then once we made the decision, like a week later, my wife said, like, I got something to tell you. I'm pregnant with our second child. I said, oh, no, I just decided to be a student. How did that happen? She said, I have to have a long talk with you.
How did that happen?
But, you know, again, things work out in life. Now our daughter's just delightful to this day. She has our grandson. So,
I mean, of course, yeah, she brings you that.
Yeah, hell yeah. She's all right with me.
Yeah, right.
She's our only grandchild. So, but it was just, you know, the timing. And I tell students now, you can't always determine how things happen in life, but just roll with what you want to do.
Yes.
Things will work out, you know.
So was there a time in school when you were like, man, I'm just tired of school and, you know?
Never. I loved it. I loved every day. I loved every day being in school. I loved the interaction with people. Syracuse was just a welcoming community. The professors were great. I never felt overwhelmed. I never felt I didn't belong. I never felt that I had made the wrong decision, that mm-hmm. I should bail out and take my MBA and go, you know, work for corporate America. One of my assistantship was to work in the MBA office and help with students because I was older, being in military experience and all. And then the director left, and then I was writing my dissertation, and the dean came and said, Melvin, you worked in that office. I need somebody to do this, run the graduate program for me for a year while we search for someone. You would be the perfect person. You can take as much time you need to write your dissertation, but you can do that. And it was the most wonderful thing. When I think of things and opportunity that happened to me in life, that goes to the top of the list, because that set me on the course of wanting to be an academic administrator. Mm-hmm. And that led to me getting jobs as deans and things like that. But it started right back because the dean had enough confidence that I could run a graduate office while I finished my PhD and, allow the university time to search for the appropriate person to take the job permanently.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. Symbio. TIKA.com.
So let's talk about that, right? So let's say there's a veteran out there right now who's got a GI Bill and maybe they got schooling underneath their belt, right? So, and they should just hit up Syracuse University?
But Syracuse University is one of the leading universities now for veterans. We have committed, we can get into that, just the university, and I'm so proud of them, what they have continued to do. And Syracuse has always had a history have been involved with the military, because in World War II, many of the young men who came to Syracuse were veterans. And so Syracuse built this huge veteran network many years ago. And actually, if you read the history of Syracuse, it was a veteran that made Syracuse a national university because they came back in numbers. In fact, the chancellor totally admitted so many veterans that some of the faculty had a vote of no confidence in him that he was changing the nature of the campus. And he survived that, and they actually built housing. So when I came to Syracuse as a veteran, I went to the top of the list of Marist Student Housing. I had a two-bedroom apartment, and I only paid $50 a month and paid for a land telephone. They really took care of veterans. And for years, even to this day, Syracuse was the place where military officers came to get their MBA in finance to go back to be finance officers in the military. That program is still in the business in the Whitman School to this day. It's probably been there 50, 60 years. Mm-hmm. So Syracuse has always had a way. And in fact, that's how I got to Syracuse, because Syracuse knew how to get the information to me in Vietnam, in addition to my wife, that the University of Virginia, Virginia Tech, didn't know what to do.
And Syracuse already had kind of like the way to do it.
They had the way to do it. The military knew how to do it, because those officers, they were officers. And it's a change of duty station, just like they could have been anywhere else. And they said, we know how to do this. And they did it. And that's how I got to Syracuse, and not like University of Virginia.
It's because they were able to follow through. Because they were able to
follow through. And yeah, exactly.
Whereas Virginia Tech probably would like to have done it, but they didn't have a follow-through process.
Exactly. They didn't understand, yeah. And by the time I got there, information, I had already accepted Syracuse.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so you go to Syracuse. You've been an administrator. You've received the prestigious award that, you know, that's got to make you feel good.
It was really great. But what happened, I just leave it to this. I was in my office one day. I was came back to Syracuse as dean. And a young faculty member came in and said, you know, you're a veteran. I'm a veteran. We have this wonderful entrepreneurship program. We're getting so many young men and women with disabilities coming back. We need to do something special for them because many of them can't work 9-to-5 jobs. We should create a special program to help them become entrepreneurs.
That's right.
And I said, that is interesting. I said, Mike, we got to do it. And then he laughed. He said, and I want it to be free for them. And we went out and raised the money to bring those young men and women to Syracuse University for 2 weeks period of time and then start a relationship with them so that they could go back and start their career as entrepreneurs. And that program has been overwhelmingly successful. That's what led to the whole idea of the Institute for Veterans and Families on campus that's grown into a multi-million-dollar operation with the wonderful building that one of our alums, Dan Danilo, and his wife, Gail, made a huge donation to build a building just for veterans on our campus. It is a world-class building. And it was.
Well, that's nice that their philanthropy was able to be available.
It was huge, yes. And that's it was all about having people with disabilities to have a reason to want to get up every day and to work and to know that there were people that cared about them. And that has just led to just this wonderful program at Syracuse University.
And what a legacy they leave, too, by donating, you know, to the housing and to the cause and to this whole establishment. Exactly.
And the building is built so much with people with disabilities in mind in terms of making the building very easy to access, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the building.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really, really very few stairs, more ramps and stuff, you know, for people in wheelchairs or other kind of, it's an amazing program.
Yeah, slow movers.
Yeah, questions. And it started just with one person coming to me saying, we ought to do this.
An idea. And you listened.
And I listened and I said, let's roll.
Let's roll.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I like it. I mean, I'm happy that's what happened.
Exactly. And the same thing happened with the PhD project. We didn't think that it wasn't designed so much for veterans, but veterans are now taking advantage. We didn't think there were enough people of color teaching in business schools.
Right.
So we said, look, let's go out and tell people, because most people think if they get that MBA, they can go out and live happily ever after, make a lot of money. They never thought about getting the PhD. And we started, so let's try to change this model. Some of these people might not want to be in corporate America working for a big nonprofit. They might want to come back to get a PhD and stand in front of the classroom and teach business instead of, you know, being a manager every day. And that happened too, and it had led to a huge success. We have more than quadruple the number of people of color now teaching in business schools across this country.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. You have, you know, Hispanic, African-American, Native American.
Yes. And a lot of people had never even thought about that they should do this before the PhD project. And when they come to the conference, we explain all the information, how you can do it, when you can do it. And it has just been overwhelmingly successful, much more successful than I think that all of us, Bernie and Tara and all of us who were there from the beginning thought that it would be.
And here it is.
Palo, people like that, yes.
How old are you today?
I am 77 years old.
77. So you've seen it grow.
Yes. Yes.
Wow, like a child.
We birthed it, you know?
Yes,
we birthed it from a meeting in Montclair, New Jersey, Brandon Milano at KPMG, Montville, New Jersey. And the first night of the meeting, and we were going home that night, we were the last plane to get out of New Jersey because it was snowing so bad. But we all got home. We always laugh about that, you know? But it is has grown and it continues to grow to this day and have an impact to this day.
Well, we're going to try to give it a shout out right now on this show and just make sure that, you know, phdproject.org.
I think it's phdproject.org. If you just Google PhD Project, everything will come up, all the information. And the thing about that, again, too, if you're selected to come to the conference is free. And then the universities come and have a job fair. So most of the leading PhD programs are there. So you can talk to schools if you're in California, you want to talk to the schools in California, they're there. If you're in Florida, in New York, they're different. Or if you want just to talk to school in other parts of the country to have a different experience, most of the major PhD programs are there for job fair that you meet key people that you can start, you know, contacting when you want to apply to those programs.
Who's your ideal candidate right now if they're listening? What are you looking for?
The ideal candidate is someone who wants to get a PhD and is willing to put in the time and effort to do that. You can be as young as a recent college graduate, or you can be 40 years old. So one person at the meeting, I'll tell you this, said, and I was at the mic, he said, I am now 40 years old. If I get a PhD, I'm going to be 45. I said, well, in 5 years, you can be 45 whether you have the PhD or not.
Right.
So if you want the PhD, do it. So there's no ideal candidate. The ideal candidate is a person who's willing to commit maybe 4 or 5 years to study and then writing to get the PhD and then go out on their own and build their own brand and their own career. And that, I think that's the beauty of it. You know, you don't have to fit a certain mold to say I can be part of this. You bring the mold and what you want to do. And that's the beauty of being in the academy and being a college professor, a university professor. You build your own mold. You build your own kingdom on the teaching you want to do, the research you want to do, and then you move forward on your own. And you're going to have mentors. I mean, we now have all types of mentors because we've been in the business, I think, for over 25 years. The PhD project has been around for over 25 years. So there are mentors everywhere. You know?
Yeah, everybody can give you some help, some advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with all of the knowledge combined, it's hundreds of years of experience.
Hundreds of years, and it's an annual conference, so you have people. And it's also now a segment about discipline. So there's a marketing group, there's a finance group, there's an accounting group. So if you're in accounting, you know that there are people you can just send an email or a message and say, hey, I need to talk with you. Right. And people respond. So the bond is just tremendous.
So let me ask you this. You would probably be in your best interest to at least have a bachelor's degree to apply for this.
Oh, you do have to have at least a bachelor's degree, yes.
You know, so you've had got to have some school going on.
Okay. That's a good point. Yes, you have to have at least a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. But one of the myths was you don't have to have an MBA or master's degree to apply.
That's what I was picking up, because you said about a 5 or 6 year commitment.
You can be as young as you want to be or as old as you want to be, depending on how you want to spend the next, say, maybe 4 or 5 years of your life. That's more the key than how old you are.
What did you write your dissertation on?
It was about consumer behavior and consumer spending patterns, how people decided to use their discretionary money. And we did a comparative study on what African-Americans would buy versus what other people would buy. And, you know, so
was it a big difference?
Yeah. Now, you know,
everybody needs toilet paper.
Yeah, everybody needs toilet paper. But people do have preferences.
Sure.
You know, that's what we talked about, preferences. Yeah.
Right. So my father, former Green Beret, he had a master's degree in business and human resource management. And so I feel like this would have been right up his kind of alley. He was studying for his doctorate before he passed, too, by the way. So, you know, a consistency. That's why I was excited to have you on. Plus, there's that nom love, dad, quote unquote. You know?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
Now, when you were in the Army, did you wear like the ERDL uniform? Do you remember?
What is it? No, I don't know.
This pattern right here.
In the military, we were basic
greens.
Greens, and then we had the green khaki uniforms. The khaki uniforms were the green khaki uniform was basically the dress of the day. And then you could dress up in greens. And then we used to call them then the dress blues. They were for special occasions, but now they're more of an everyday wear. The military has really changed. You know,
they went back to those.
We had the traditional military khakis.
Yeah.
You know, cotton khakis. And then in the winter, you had the wool kind of heavier coats.
But nothing camouflage just yet?
No, we weren't. No, we didn't get to real into any camouflage kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. No.
So, PhDproject.org.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's just really growing people and just making them to be PhDs.
And what we started with the conference that people come to, because they give you a sense of belonging, but it also tells you whether you want to do it or not, because we don't sugarcoat it. We tell you what to expect. And we tell people, if you walk away saying it's not for me, then you've made a life decision on what you want to do and what you want to be. And you take then getting a PhD off your plate and you go back to work for a corporation or a nonprofit or what you want to do. But then it's for you. You said, okay, I want to fill my plate by becoming a PhD.
Right. And you'll probably want them to stay within the university too. It's like, hey, there's going to probably.
And that is another thing that's a really good point, is that we are really trying to prepare people to become university professors. We're not trying to, and you can't always tell people what to do, but we're not just trying to get people to get a PhD because they want to be a consultant and have a PhD behind their name. Our primary goal and primary mission is to continue to integrate the head of the classroom with people of color.
Yes.
So that's the goal. And we tell people up front, if you're in this to become just a consultant with a PhD, we really don't want you to take a slot, but you can do it on your own.
But you would like to try to keep that pool, full for the program.
Yeah, because there's never enough people to fill these positions across the United States. And some people even globally, if they choose to do that, that we need that person in front of the classroom.
You really made a big, cool program happen.
Yes.
Yes. That's commendable.
It was wonderful from the beginning.
I bet people are looking at me like, you're talking to a rock star, Rad, recognize it, and I'm like, no, and I'm just like, You're a father, you know, and a PhD and a professor. I get it.
I'm just a country boy trying to make it. That's all.
Country boy who's made it, right? I think that if you were to leave today, this earth, you could leave with a smile in your soul, knowing that you've left such an awesome, badass legacy and helped. You just helped.
Well, that is true. I mean, I have to admit that. Because I've gotten certain recognitions and things that make know that you've had a tremendous impact on a number of people, and that is very rewarding.
It's a mentor thing.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And you have mentored so many. I mean, right now, I'm like, what do I say to him? He's a rock star, you know? It's like, you want to talk about marketing and business strategies? It's like, you know, I wanted to know what you wrote on. I love marketing. I've worked in radio, television, you know, that kind of marketing. You know, if you haven't been on radio, you need to be. And here we are, still on radio.
Still on radio, which is wonderful, yes.
Right. But the days have changed, right? Let's talk about that marketing, right? The days have changed where you used to find the static dial and set it on your jams, and then the same advertiser would always be able to repeat to you. Today we have...
Because the listenership now is much more diverse. And because one of the things that's fascinating to me is because you have so much at your fingertip, you don't have to listen to the commercials if you don't want to anymore.
Exactly. You even pay for commercial free.
You can be commercial free. That's why more and more, you know, people are trying to paste stuff. When you open up a site, the first thing you see is a commercial or something, you know, before you can get to you or get to other people, because they have to respond to the changing environment. You know,
right.
Because I mean, if I could tape your show and just blast through if you had commercials and not ever listen to one, man.
I do it. I'm like, okay, back to the show, you know?
I don't need that one.
No offense, advertisers.
But they understand that.
My heads are in the trenches here, man. I'm bringing the talent.
But they understand. They find numerous ways to get you to hear about their products, to hear about their services. So,
well, like on some of these big streaming services.
They stream it. They do different things now. They have adjusted well. You can tell that by the cost of what people pay now to be on a streaming service or, you know, on certain shows, high power shows like yours. So,
well, now they have like digital billboards all over the place where you can just pay like 8 cents, for a 10-second blip, you know, and the average person driving on the freeway takes like 7 to 13 seconds to read a billboard. So if you have something like a word,
yeah, but then you're going to go back to, well, what was that? What was that about? See, so it whets your appetite to say, okay, I missed it this time. What were they really talking about? And so so the next time you see it, you might pay attention. See, and that's part of the way to get people to actually at some point pay some attention. And that's why they're so quick now, because they wanted just to plant a seed for you to come back to say, well, what were they really about? What were they really doing? What were the product? What were the service?
We call that keyword spamming.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah.
It makes sense. So my business here, I just have one word, and it says airsoft.
See, yes.
And every time somebody drives by it, they see 30,000 cars.
Right. And then they might go home and Google it if they don't know what it is, right?
And then they come in. I always ask everybody, how come you're here?
Yes.
I ask everybody that because I'm like, and they're like, oh, I just saw your sign about 40 times and I finally came in from work.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, there we go.
Yeah.
You know, on the internet or, you know, saw a YouTube video. I love to dive down and dive deep on how did you get into my store?
To be right. Yes.
That's correct. Yeah. 100%. It's the marketing in me.
Well,
because I'm guerrilla marketing.
Yes. Exactly.
At its finest. Like right now, I'm talking about my airsoft shop. See, it's just guerrilla marketing.
Getting the word out. And that's what you
that's
want
right.
for people, exactly.
Right, because if you want to play war games in Utah, I'm your huckleberry. You come find me, and then I take care of you. Or anywhere. I got friends all over the place. You want to play in Nevada? Look these guys up. But, you know, it's that kind of marketing that, you know,
that brings people
passive aggressive. Recruiters need to do that with the military.
Yes. Yeah.
Not so bold.
You know, like, hey, I mean, the military, you know, speaking of recruiting, is really having a tough time.
Yeah. Do you think it's branding? Do you think it's marketing? What do you think is...
The military personnel. I just think the demographics are there. You know, and remember, and for instance, when I was back in college, the first 2 years of ROTC was mandatory at a land-grant institution. That doesn't happen anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, as the largest age in terms of demography has passed through the system. We don't have the big demography groups coming at 17, 18s anymore. You know, it's a smaller pool to try to recruit people to join a service. And I'm not sure, and again, I don't know, so I'm probably speaking out of turn. I don't know how well the military are really marketing the skill set and changing to what they really need to suit what they need to do and how innovative they are in terms of. So what they'll say to a kid is, look, okay, you take the test. All right, you failed it, so you can't get in. Well, maybe, and I've seen a couple of these, they're beginning to do this. They say some of the kids, well, we're going to put you in kind of a boot camp to have you improve some of the skills that you need to be in the military for what we need. And we're going to invest in you. And if you do this, then you'll move into a military, you know, position. So the military is going to have to invest some money up front to recruit people to come to be part of that military community rather than saying either you're in or you're out.
You know? Right. You know, they want you just to kind of run.
Yeah. You know, just say, okay, you pass the test and you're in. Well, and as I told some people, especially with the young African-American kids in the STEM areas with the military, when I was the interim president at Norfolk State, and the Coast Guard tried to hire these kids in the Navy, was trying to get these kids on the advanced Navy program. I said, look, you're competing against some of the world corporations that's paying these kids six figures right out of undergraduate school, and you want them to be on a ship underwater for 6 months. That ain't happening. You know, unless you change what you're doing, how you're going to go about, and what you're going to invest in these young people. You might get one or two, but you're not going to get a big quota because you can't compete with the Microns and you know, the other big, now with all the IT, AI stuff coming and all these exciting new careers coming with these kids from the STEM area.
Who are recruiting them.
Yeah, who are recruiting
already.
And they recruit. So what, when I talk about investment, so what do they do? They take these kids as sophomores or juniors and they give them what they call internships. But that's just a pre-recruiting deal.
That's exactly right.
That if you do well, when you finish your undergraduate degree, they're going to hire you. The military doesn't do anything like that. You take the test, and either you fail it and you go on your way, or you pass, and then we might talk to you. Well, they haven't invested in anything up front to have that person pass the test.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Or stuff like that, right? So they have to be a lot more proactive up front than just waiting for somebody to walk through a recruiting door and say, I want to join the Army or that Air Force, Navy, Marines, or Coast Guard. You ain't gonna get the numbers.
No. Right.
You know? Yes.
Yeah, it's not so much. It's like, how are you competing in the career field?
Exactly, and who is really your competition?
Yes, because you do have competition because it is a career field. You could be 20, 30 years, and you can go all the way to 65 years old in the military if you have a great career.
If that's what you choose to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the military needs to kind of groom maybe this 17-year-old. Who they say, hey, your math score sucks, you're out, and say, hey, you know what? We have like a Army math program.
And try to show them some career paths.
You know, and extending the olive branch to them.
Exactly.
Say, hey, we are here for you. We're not just gonna sweep you out.
And you're gonna have a good career path.
That's correct.
And tell the person how they envision if certain things happen, it playing out for you to become, you know, an E6, E7 or a colonel or maybe even a flag officer.
Right. You know, and so, I mean, if that kid's out there thinking, well, hey, I can either go work over here for $30 an hour or work in the military for 10 bucks an hour, plus clothing, housing, and maybe live on a submarine.
And then I'll equate the importance of those survival things that you need, like food, shelter, and health benefits, right? And
right,
because young people don't calculate that into what they think they need to live initially.
No, they just want to go out and buy the flash and get it and have it. And then they're like, oh, I owe on it 6 years later.
They have access to finances and access to cash.
That's right. And I'm not saying it has to be, you know, it doesn't have to be like a general salary for a private, but it has to be competing.
It's somewhat competing, yes, because you're competing against other people. And it's also the freedom and flexibility that you have because the military, you know, you're going to have some rules and regulations that you have to follow. But if I'm not in the military, I have a little more freedom, personal freedoms. Because you do give up some personal freedom to be part of a team in the military.
Because the Patriot, let's talk about the Patriot out there. They're going to join. You're not going to make them enough money to do with that job. It's the guy that's like, I need to go to a career and I want to work sonar or air traffic controller. You know, you may have a civilian air traffic controller who could go military air traffic controller. What are you going to do to entice that guy? At least be National Guard in the system to help out. I mean, you know, air traffic controllers. If you're out there and you want to be an air traffic controller, hit them up. Tell them Rad sent you.
Best place to start to get the training and experiences in the military.
Exactly.
So you're flying planes all over the world.
Here I have 19-year-olds coming into my airsoft shop wanting to play war games. And I'm like, what are you going to do with yourself? He's like, I want to fly a commercial. He said commercial. I said, you can go to the military? He's like, no, I'm just doing a civilian program to learn how to fly commercial. But you could commit to the military and get through all of that and still get that experience.
And you don't have to pay for it. He's paying for that pilot training program he has in the private marketplace. I don't know what something like that costs.
And I bet you someone in his school that's teaching him is former military. I have a funny feeling.
I have a hunch. That would be, exactly.
Something tells me he's flown some rubber dog doo-doo out of Hong Kong or something, you know, that guy. Some Top Gun quote. You two guys.
Yes.
Now you're going to go run the school.
Now you're going to run the school, yes. Get that good military training.
Exactly. And shoulder-to-shoulderness, you know, there's nothing like that.
And it also has taught you how to be part of a team.
That's right.
How to deal with people, again, from diverse environments, because we know in the military, people come from all walks of life, which is wonderful.
Well, as a manager yourself, you know it's about surrounding yourself with good people to make you look like a good manager.
That's what happens, yes.
Yes.
So
you do as they do.
People working for you, they're smarter than you because they're going to make you smarter.
That's right. Yeah. Like I just got smarter off this interview.
No, you're very kind.
Stop. You're very kind.
Really interesting, yeah. So.
You know, I've had you for a good 45 minutes talking about, you know, the PhDproject.org, talking about how you grew the Syracuse University, you know, diversity program for PhD, PhDproject.org. I love your pictures on your wall. And yes, I just want to let you know that. And I hold you in the highest regards of that.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. Yes. Actually, the lady was actually, my wife worked at I was here in graduate school. The lady, actually, that was painted by a prisoner.
Is that right?
The Martin Luther King picture. My wife was in the audience, and he was on the stage. This is an amazing picture, if you can see
it. It is. And he's so young, and he's just chilling.
Well, the guy sitting next to my wife said, I'm going to take this picture of Martin Luther King, because I think he was waiting to speak, and if it, when it comes out, I'm going to give you one. That's the way that picture came out. Amazing.
Yeah, he's just chilling. It's just like...
It's so... It's like it's everything he stood for, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a picture that my wife has one, the guy kept one, and the one is at the King Center in Atlanta. Those are only three of that pictures. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's even on display. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that to you in the background. So, yeah, you're very welcome.
Glad we moved in here. That's the dining room table.
See, it works.
I have my iPad in the dining room, yeah.
No. This works. This is great, you know?
It's one of my favorite rooms, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought the show to the room here where we could display those wonderful pieces of art, okay, of huge...
You know, the computer will work better.
It will.
Yeah.
It has.
And that's the truth, yes.
It has. And you've been wonderful, Dr. Melvin Stiff of the United States Army Officer... Military intelligence. Now you're a dad and a grandpa.
Army.
Let's go Army. Let's go Army. That's right. My dad agrees with me right behind me in the flag.
But rest in peace, but he has it right. Exactly.
That's right, sir. That's right. So with that said, I'm going to say go support our merch.
I will do
that. Check the bookstore out for any of my listeners.
I will do that,
and
yes.
On behalf of Dr. Stiff and myself and Syracuse University, go Syracuse U.
Program. For the young men and women getting out, look at Syracuse. It's a great place to continue your education. You're going to find one of the most supportive environments, and if not, I'll say the most supportive in the U.S. Academy.
And that'll be broken down.
Yes.
In the bottom of the website so people can click on it.
Right.
Just go straight to the website.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay. So we'll have that all set up.
Oh, great. We appreciate it.
And thanks to William for coming to help me with your
William,
tech.
William bailed me out, yes. We would have had that anyway, but he made it quicker, yes.
And I'm going to give a shout out, I think, to Pat. I heard you say Pat.
Yeah, Patricia's my wife of 53 years.
I think we should give her a shout out one more time.
Yeah,
she for kissing that face of yours.
She did all the hard work for me to get to Syracuse University. I told her the first day I saw her, I'm going to marry you one day.
Yeah, what's up?
And it worked out.
You're a determined individual.
I know what I want.
That's what's up.
That's what's
I love
up.
It.
Exactly.
You've been a very charming...
been a wonderful host. And in the future, reach out to me if you think I can be helpful at all.
I would love that.
It was really been. It's always a pleasure for us to talk about the PhD project. It means so much to me, and as well as Syracuse University, and especially the Veterans Program.
I already know. And same here. I'm so excited to have you on, and thank you for making me fit on your schedule on this beautiful Sunday, right after Veterans Day. So happy Veterans Day to you.
It was great, yes. But we had a great Veterans Day series of activities here in town.
I'm sure. If you were there, it was a rock star show.
Okay, well, you take care of yourself, Mark.
You too, Dean. Thank you so much. And on behalf of all of us here at SoftRep and the Dean, I'm saying peace.
You've been listening to SoftRep Radio.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.